Well, greetings, Jesus' name. It's a privilege to be here. And thank you to each one that's come this morning. I'd like to begin with prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning and thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here. To study your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are our Father and you provided so much for us. Thank you for your word that is truth. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that you guide us into truth. And we pray that you would do that here this morning, that you would speak to us, help us to understand your word, and just pray that you would speak clearly through me. Just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning you can turn back to the book of Matthew in chapter 5, which Arthur had read some of the verses there in the beginning. And if you notice here in Matthew chapter 5, it says that Jesus was up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. So he was speaking to his disciples, to men who were following him. And he's also was speaking to us today who are following him. I'd like to look at, beginning at verse 14. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So here he gives us a picture. He tells us clearly, he says, "You are the light of the world." And then he says, it's like a city that's set on a hill, how it cannot be hidden. And you got the picture of a city that's built on top of the hill, and you can see it for miles around. And he also gives us the picture of a lamp, and he says, we do not light a lamp and put a basket over it. You know, what would be the purpose of the lamp if we put a basket over it and you just see a little bit of light coming out? I love light. Like, I don't like it dark. I like to turn the lights on and it's light. Like, I just see this picture he's giving us of that lamp that's to light the room, and we just have, you know, you just... the basket's over it, and there's a few little cracks where a little bit of light shining out. And we would say this is pathetic, right? A pathetic way to light the room. But he says, but it should be on a lampstand that it may give light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So, I believe he's telling us here to not be ashamed, you know, not be ashamed of the light, of the truth, of the love, of all that he has given us. Mark, you can turn to Mark 8. In verse 34, it says, "And when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." There he tells us, Jesus is telling us not to be ashamed. He says, don't be ashamed of me and my words. Even though you're in a dark place. Even though, as he says, don't be ashamed. You're going to be in the midst of a dark place. You're in a dark place and you're this bright light. And he says, don't be ashamed. If we think about a light, think about a lamp. What does a lamp need to make light? It needs to have a source of fuel, does it not? The oil lamp, when the oil runs out, the light goes out. The source of energy, there's something, it's burning the oil to make light. And that's, for us as believers, is the relationship with Jesus. The love of Jesus, the truth of Jesus in our hearts, his spirit in us, making those things real to us, is the fuel in our lamp. It's the oil in our lamp. John 12, verse 35. Then Jesus said to them, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. Here Jesus was in a place where people did not believe him. And he was putting out that plea to, he said, while you have the light, while I'm with you, believe in the light. Come to me, you know, get connected to me that you may become children of light. See, Jesus says, there's other verses that says Jesus is the light of the world. He's the light. But then here we have Jesus telling us or his disciples that you are the light. See, he wants you and I as his follower to carry his light because he went away. He went into heaven and he calls us clearly. He says, you are the light. But we will not have any light. The oil will have run out unless we have Jesus in our heart. Unless he's inside of me living in here, I have nothing to give. I have no oil to burn in my lamp. So the only way we can be an effective light to the world is when Jesus is a reality in my heart. When I know him, when I'm with him, when I'm, and he's talking to me, and I know that he loves him. That's my lamp. He wants us to become children of light. Matthew 6, verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? we will reflect something. And he says, if our heart is full of darkness, how great is the darkness? If our heart is full of darkness, there's going to be darkness coming out of our life. There's going to be, we're going to be hurting people. We're going to be spreading darkness. But if we have light, then our life will be full of light. You can turn to John chapter 4. Thank you. John 4 and verse 9. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, asked a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. So here Jesus was telling the woman who had come for physical water, he was telling her that his purpose for coming was to give an everlasting water, a fountain of water that springs up in us. And I just see that picture of light again, as that Jesus wants to put in us as his disciples. He wants to fill us full and overflowing, a fountain that's spraying out refreshment. It's giving refreshment to all who come near. A fountain. Continually. That's how he would like our life to be. Proverbs 4, verse 18 says, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. The path of the just is like the shining sun. To me, that gives a beautiful picture. You know, we love to be in the beautiful sunshine, do we not? When the sun comes up in the morning, it's beautiful. Because we can see the beauty. And I believe Jesus wants us to be that shining light that will bring out the beauty in life. But it says the way of the wicked is like darkness, and they do not know what makes them stumble. I'd like to look a little bit at that next, how our world is dark. And what is the darkness? You know, in our world, it's when there's the absence of light. If you take light away, you have darkness. And we have in the beginning of time in Genesis 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth Earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then following that, we have God creating light. Because there couldn't be life here. He was planning to create life. But to have life, he needed to create light. It brings, what does the sun do for us? Think about it. It gives us warmth. It gives us life in so many ways. The plants grow from the sunlight. Without the sun, all life on earth would die. The same with mankind. Without the light of God, they will destroy themselves. Man without love, without God, will destroy themselves. And we don't need to look. Yeah, like I think this darkness, I think we are living in a time. I was thinking about that verse. It says how because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. And it just feels like we're in that time where you see people who profess God and they're falling down. And there's just so much wickedness promoted. But we must endure to the end. We must remember that just because iniquity is abounding, because people have fallen, it does not change the truth of God. And there are many verses that speak about enduring to the end. To the end. Endurance to the end. And those are the people who will be blessed. We can look at Romans chapter 1. Tells us of the darkness. That how man will become very dark without the light of God. In Romans 1 verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changing the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve those who practice them. And there we see a picture of man who is without God, without light, without... Yeah, there's just... They end up with so much evil and so much darkness. That is the picture of man without God's light. So Jesus called us to be the light to the world, the city that sat on the hill, the lamp on the stand. You know, light is life. Like we said, the sunshine brings life to so many things. Dark, if there's no light, our eyes don't even work. See a thing. Work. Light makes it possible to experience beautiful things. The beauty of nature and just so many things that we see with our eyes. And the light, the sunlight on it, makes it so beautiful. Think about, you go on a walk and you see, you know, the sunlight, and there's dew in the morning, and it makes it sparkle. On the snowy day, the sun on the snow, and it's sparkling. It's beautiful. It would be impossible to, when we get injured, to clean up a wound if we didn't have light. It's very important. It's very important. Light also gives us understanding of darkness. You know, if we didn't, we know what darkness is because we have light, right? Like, because that's how we know what darkness is. Because we have light. And I believe that God would like us to be the light that would help people understand darkness. That helps us, they can see the contrast. You know, are they seeing light coming from your life? And they see a contrast of, if there is darkness in their life, do they say, wow, that's different. Wow, it's beautiful. You mean I don't need to have these thoughts of hatred in my heart when they see love? As a disciple of Christ, we have the list that is called the fruit of the Spirit. So these are the things that should be seen in our life. Our lamp should be shining out love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And I believe, you know, the world around us is so hungry. There's so much pain. There's so much hurt. There's we bump into this every day of our lives. And Jesus calls us to be a light, to bring that love to people, to bring peace where there's fighting. To show them gentleness. I believe the call to be a light is not only to those who are lost, but also to those who know God. We can be a light and a help to our brothers and sisters. They need us to be a light. You can turn to Galatians. Well, I only have two verses there. I'll just read that. Galatians 6, 9 says, "And let us not grow weary in while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." And there it brings out how we're to do good to all. We're to shine our light to all men, but it says, especially to those who are of the household of faith. You know, our brothers and sisters, we need each other. We need to shine God's love to each other. There are many. Hebrews 12, verse 12 says, "And the feeble knees are your feet, such as lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears." So here, the call is to strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, and to make a straight path. You know, strengthen the hands. We all get weary in what we're called to do, right? We all have times that are more difficult. Times of sickness, times of that it's just, you know, whatever it is, a lot of different ways that we go through hard and difficult times. And we're to be a light that is strengthening the hands which hang down, and to make straight paths for our feet. And I think that is, to me, that speaks of encouraging someone in the right way, making a straight path, helping someone who maybe there's some kind of confusion, or maybe the devil has brought doubt into their heart. And can we be that light that comes alongside and helps them see a clear path that God would have them to walk in? A straight path for their feet. You know, it's that straight path, to me, it makes it so much easier when you know the path. Sometimes we get lost in the weeds of trying to find the path. And we're like, what does God want me to do at this turn in the road? And sometimes we need someone else to come alongside us and help us see the path. And once we have a clear path, walking in it is not so difficult. So can we be the person that comes alongside and helps our brother, helps our sister to see a clear path to walk? We go through times of pain. Pain that you, as a brother or sister, we cannot take it away from the person. Many times you can't remove the pain from someone's life. It's pain. It's hurtful. But can you share the pain? I believe we can. I believe God would have us come alongside and share the pain. Pray with them. Talk to them. Stay close to them in that time and share the burden of pain. I believe we heard many times how a smile, just a smile, how much it can do for someone. You know, it can brighten someone's day. When their day is all looking dark and you give them a smile, it gives a person a little bit of hope, right? That, oh, maybe life isn't so bad after all. Or a kind deed. You know, many of us, and children, this is something you can do. All of us, great or small, can do a kind deed for someone. That smile, open up the door for someone, write a card or a letter to let someone know you thought about them. You know, there's many, many ways. And, yeah, the small children, you know, you don't have to be very big. You can open up a door for someone. Pray with someone. I believe we talked about that already. But praying, when we are in hard times, we need to pray. We need to ask God to help us. So when someone's going through a hard time, let's be a light by praying with them. We will meet many people in our world they have lost hope. They have lost hope. See, the devil loves to put people in darkness, and he loves to condemn them, and he loves to tell them their life is worthless, tell them there's no road out, and he wants to paint in people's mind a very dark and a hopeless picture. And we have many, many, many people walking right beside us in life who are this way. You go to the grocery store, they're shopping right beside you. You go to the hardware store and they're shopping right beside you. They are there. They are hurting. There are people who have, the devil is, he's the father of darkness. And he's trying to paint in their mind a hopeless picture. And Jesus needs us to be the person to go there and give them hope. You know, it's helpful when somebody's in trouble, when their life is in shambles, when their life is a wreck, we need to give that person hope. We need to tell them tell them what you picture God making their life. Give them something, because a lot of times a person in that situation can't see out. They can't, that this whole thing looks so big and so dark and so useless that they can't see past it. But if we can tell them that we see God being able to change their life and make it like this, give them a picture of what it could look like. It'll give them something, it'll give them a ray of hope. Give them a picture of what God could make their life into. Give them hope. First Peter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If we are being that light and we're doing it for the Lord, it's not in vain. It's not in vain. Our labor will not be in vain in the Lord. So let's be a bright light. Let's be a light to our world, a city that's set on a hill. Let's be the lamp on the lampstand, and do not put a basket over your lamp.